A little bit disconcerting. Usually there's a lot of other men who can't hit the high notes. I think I was the only one tonight who couldn't get that note in the last line. Thank you for inviting me to speak. It's a privilege to do so. The theme tonight comes from the fact that it is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation this year. And, of course, from the fact that Katharina Luther was a godly woman of the Reformation. Does everybody have the notes? Does anybody need the notes yet? Okay. My plan is to go through the introduction first, and then we're going to stop and read Proverbs 31. And then we'll go the rest of the way. The rest of the speech is divided along the lines of the main ideas of Proverbs 31. At the age of 10, Katharina von Bora was left motherless in the providence of God. Her father put her into a convent or a nunnery in Nimshin, Germany, since he did not want to take care of her, and he quickly went and married somebody else. He wasn't a very righteous man. After 6 years, 16 years old, the age when considered adult at this time, she took the vows of the convent and became an official nun, intending to live in that convent for the rest of her life. She really had nowhere else to go. However, when she was about 30 years old, Luther nailed his 95 theses on the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. And though the convent in which she lived was pretty sheltered and shut off from the rest of society, not even the walls of that dreary place could keep out the writings of Luther and the Reformation that he sparked. Especially 9 women in that convent in Nimshin began reading the writings of Luther and some of his sermons. And Katie was one of those 9. Those 9 women became convinced that what Luther was teaching was the truth of God's word, justification by grace alone, through faith alone, the priesthood of all believers, and the biblical notion that living in a convent as a nun or in a monastery as a monk was not a more holy occupation, but that you could honor God and glorify God and in the regular life of service to God as a wife and as a mother. And these 9 women, embracing that faith, began to have a great desire to leave that convent and to live their life to the glory of God outside. However, Nimshin was a town in Germany that was under the rule of a duke that despised Luther. He was a Roman Catholic duke and despised Luther's teaching. And this duke had once even executed a man for trying to let nuns out of their convent. It was highly unlikely that these women were ever going to get to leave their nunnery. As a last resort, these 9 women got together and wrote a letter to Luther himself, asking him to help them somehow escape. Luther, whose heart couldn't dismiss the cries of some poor nuns, and whose spirit couldn't resist such an adventure, right away began to plan for their escape. Luther knew a man, a Lutheran man, who delivered anchovies in barrels to different places in the area of that convent. And Luther himself planned with this man, along with writings back and forth with these nuns, that on Easter Sunday, He would come in the middle of the night with his carriage, pretending to be delivering anchovies, and the women would climb out their window, and he would take them out of that land to the Palatinate to safety. That's exactly what they did. Easter night, middle of the night, when Christ rose out of his tomb, these nine women rose out of the grave of their dreary convent with the smell of anchovies sinking into their hair and into their skin. They hid. It's debated whether or not they hid inside the barrels of anchovies or behind them on the cart. But either way, with a tarp over top for added security, they made their way back to safety. They were stopped one time, but the guards, smelling the stench of the anchovies, just let the man go on. Most of the nine women who escaped were married very quickly. Luther himself involved in their marriages. But Katie went to live with a wealthy family in Wittenberg first, where she learned the task of really running a large household. It was a wealthy family with a lot going on, and she really functioned as a stewardess of the whole household. While she was there, though, Luther kept trying to set her up with different men. Ministers come by it honestly, trying to set people up for marriages. One of these men loved her dearly, and actually she really was fond of him too. He was the future king of Denmark, but his parents did not approve of the arrangement, and so it did not go through. Later, Luther tried to set her up with another man, but she refused. And when she refused, she said this. She said, "Luther, I would rather marry you than this man." That kind of stuck in the back of the mind of Martin Luther. Luther never intended to get married, not because he was against getting married. Of course not. He was the man who preached that clergy should get married for the first time in the history of the church. But this was a problem. Luther believed that he was going to become a martyr any day, and if he got married, he would leave behind a widow. However, he went and talked to a friend about it, and this friend convinced him that he should set the tone for the rest of the clergy and he should get married. Luther finally agreed, and he went and proposed to Katie, who was 16 years younger than him, and she readily agreed to marry him, and they got married the very next day. Not for love, not for romance, at least not on Luther's side, but in Luther's words at first for this, quote, "to rile the Pope and to make the devil weep," end quote. Though he didn't know it at the time, the Lord brought to Luther a godly, godly woman, a wonderful wife that the Lord would use in his life and in the history of the church. From her side, she loved him right away from day one. From his side, his love grew for her more and more, daily, weekly, monthly, until it was deep and genuine. Luther's favorite book of the Bible is the book of Galatians. In what is probably a comment that only a pastor's wife would find romantic, Luther said once to a friend, "Galatians is my Katerina von Bora." She was, he said, the morning star of the Reformation, a Proverbs 31 woman, from whom the women of God this 500th year after the Reformation can surely take great encouragement. I'm going to change the title of the speech, Katerina Luther, Encouragement from a Proverbs 31 Woman of the Reformation. I have 4 points here, and they're all points that are aspects of the Proverbs 31 Woman. Katerina really epitomized the Proverbs 31 woman. Let's read Proverbs 31, Beginning at verse 10, 10 to the end. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also when he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. If you arrange that content topically, the first thing about a Proverbs 31 woman is that she is a godly and faithful wife to her husband. The heart of her husband trusts in her. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. As Luther grew in his love for Katie, he also grew in respect and trust in her. The heart of Luther trusted in Katie. As you can imagine, it was somewhat intimidating at first for Katie to be married to the great reformer Luther. And Luther was indeed a great man. He had a brilliant mind. He had a great capacity to love. He was generous. He had wit. He had magnanimity. He had passion. And all of it he used with zeal for God's glory and the good of the church. Everyone wanted his time. Everyone wanted his attention. And this is a tumultuous time. The time the Reformation is taking off. It took all of Luther's energy. And for Katie, the question as she gets married to him is, how am I supposed to function now in this relationship? How do I speak to him? When do I speak to him? Should I function more like his maid or his servant than his wife? But eventually she settled in, and he settled in with her, and things became comfortable, and her personality began to show itself, and she became a wife whose work and word Luther relied upon extensively. She was a great help to her husband in many ways. They say, behind every man is a good woman. That's certainly true of Luther. Domestically, he trusted her. He trusted her to run the household, which was a very busy household, as we will see in a moment. Luther said, in almost everything, I depend upon the Holy Spirit, but in domestic affairs, I depend upon Katie. But he trusted her not only to run his house, he trusted her to help him with the weight of what it is to be the great reformer Martin Luther. Luther suffered from deep bouts of depression, melancholy throughout his life, mostly from exhaustion. And time again, it was Katie who nurtured him back to health by her wise care of him. She seemed to always know exactly what to do for him, just what he needed and when. She seemed to know that at certain times what he needed was for her to come into the situation and really take over and get everyone else away from him and let him rest. And she would do that sometimes. She would come in and she would just take charge. And she would say, no more meetings, no more requests, no more visits. He needs to rest. And she would nurture him back to health that way. There were other times when she knew that what he really needed was a good friend to come over and to just talk with him, to talk not about things of the church, but just to talk, to have a good conversation and to laugh a little bit. Luther loved to laugh. And she seemed to know when Luther needed a little bit of tough love too, maybe along with the other two. She was a very submissive wife. She called him Herr Doctor, or the doctor, or my doctor, and she meant that as a term of respect, like Sarah called Abraham Lord. She was very submissive, but she wasn't a pushover either. She had some feistiness about her, and she knew when her husband needed her to be somewhat firm and to take some charge. There was one time in Luther's melancholy that he locked himself into his study for 3 days straight without eating or drinking. Finally, after 3 days, she went and got someone to come and tear down the door to his study so that she could come in and take care of him. One time, Luther was so sick and really so broken down, really we'd call it today a mental breakdown. He couldn't eat, he couldn't drink, and he was deathly cold all the time. He was in this state for months. And everyone, including himself, thought that he was going to die. It was Katie who got him the rest that he needed and who nursed him back to health physically and mentally too. But even after he was out of that state, he struggled to continue on with his work. So finally one day, she dressed up in all black clothes, mourning clothes, and she went into his room. And when he asked her what in the world she was doing wearing those clothes, she said, "I am mourning, for God is dead." And his response to her was, "You blasphemous woman." To which she said, "Well, my husband seems to think so. And if God is not dead, then tell my husband it's time for him to get to work." To which, astoundingly, he responded, "You're right." And he went and got to work that very instant. More than once, she brought him back from the brink of death, nursed him to health when he was to the point of utter exhaustion. One time, she saved him from being murdered. It was a time when he wanted to go to a meeting, a church meeting, at a time when his life was in danger, and she begged him not to go, even with tears, and finally he consented not to go. And it was discovered the next day that there were 4 men who were waiting on the path ready to ambush Luther and to kill him. Another time, when he believed himself again that he was going to die from sickness and fever and exhaustion, she nourished him to health, got him rest again, and read him scripture almost full time, day and night. He would go in and out of feverish sleep, and when he would wake up in his state of fever, the only thing he would say is, "Where is my dear Katie?" Even in Luther's work in the church, he relied upon her sometimes. There were a couple of times Luther was bold, of course, and stood up for the truth of the Word of God. But there were a couple of times when he shied away from defending the truth of God's Word in writing against someone who had attacked an aspect of that truth. One time was when he was attacked by Erasmus, and another time by a man named Heinz of Wolfenbüttel. On both of those occasions, it was Katie, who encouraged him that he needed to respond here in writing for the sake of the church and the sake of the truth. And he came around to see the necessity of it and complied with her request. She was an intelligent woman. She spoke German, of course, living in Germany. She also spoke pretty good Latin, and Luther would often run things that he was working on by her. She was a woman who opened her mouth with wisdom to him often. The heart of her husband trusted in her to the point where one time he confessed, "I think I rely more on Katie than I do on Christ." Second thing about a Proverbs 31 woman is that she's given to hospitality and care for the needy. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. When Luther and Katie got married, the elector of the Palatinate, Frederick, gave to them a building called the Black Cloister, or the Black Monastery, for a parsonage. It was a large building, three stories, with many rooms. It had once, many years before, been a small hospital. At another time, it had been a dorm for students, and most recently, it had been a dorm for Augustinian monks. Augustinian monks wore black, which is why it was called the Black Monastery. It was a massive house with many rooms and could accommodate many people. And many people came to Wittenberg and to Luther and Katie's house to be accommodated. First of all, many children that they took care of. They had six of their own, Luther and Katie, although two died, one in infancy and one at 12 years old. In addition to that, there were six nieces and nephews that lived with them full time, and then four more children from Wittenberg whose father had passed away and whose mother was penniless. Besides that, all those children, there were students who always lived with them, students who came to Wittenberg to study under Luther, to be ministers. They always lived in the house, and she took care of them. In addition to that, there were people escaping the persecution of Rome that didn't know where to go to find safety, and so they'd show up at Luther and Katie's door, and they would house them in that big house. One time, out of nowhere, a bunch of nuns that had escaped a different convent, this time without Luther's help, showed up at their door. And of course, Katie took them in, fed them, cared for them. There were foreign visitors all the time. There were delegates of the church that had to come to meet Luther, and she cared for them there. One time there was a princess who converted from Roman Catholicism to Lutheranism, but whose husband was still Roman Catholic. And the husband found out that his wife was taking the Lord's Supper instead of the Mass. And to punish her, he locked her in a room, kind of like a jail in a tower. A princess jailed into a tower. Somehow she escaped and didn't know where to go, so she fled to Wittenberg and showed up at their door. Both Luther and Katie sacrificed a lot of time with each other to show their love and care for others at this tumultuous time. Two times during their time in Wittenberg, the plague descended upon Wittenberg. And Katie basically turned that old monastery into a hospital. People urged Luther and Katie to leave Wittenberg so that they wouldn't get sick and die. But both Luther and Katie said, "We will not leave. We will stay. We will minister to the flock that the Lord has given us to care for. And if the Lord takes us home, so be it. He will take care of his church." The plague in Wittenberg was horrific, as you can imagine. Dead bodies in the streets. It was chaos. It was pandemonium. Katie filled the rooms of that old monastery with sick people, and she worked to take care of them day and night with little sleep until she too became so exhausted she almost died. Luther would continually tell her she needed to sleep, you need to rest, and she would sleep for a couple of hours, but then she would arise again in the middle of the night and continue to care for her patients. The second time the plague hit was after Luther died, and she was a widow. Again, Katie stayed behind, even though she was alone, and she opened up her home as a hospital again, this time with her daughter, Margaret. She cared for the sick in Wittenberg to the point where they both almost died from exhaustion. But through both attacks of the plague, the Lord preserved their health, spared them. They lived, and they served the church. She was a woman of devotion, love, and care for others. How could Luther and Katie afford to care constantly for so many people all their lives? Well, really, they couldn't, which leads to the next thing that's true about a Proverbs 31 woman. She girdeth her loins with strength. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. Katie was extremely hardworking and resourceful and industrious and frugal. And she had to be. They were both generous. Luther was sometimes generous to a fault. He was quite naive about money and about what it took to actually care for others and to run the household the way that they did it, opening up their home to all kinds of people. Luther said once, and I tend to think this is a pretty wonderful quote, really, that God divided the hand into fingers so that money could slip through. He was always giving things away, always. She was generous too, but she understood the limitations of finances and the reality of that. And she learned to be frugal so that when Luther gave away everything, she still had something to run the household and to care for the people that they had to care for. One time he wanted to give away an expensive vase that they got as a wedding present, and she decided to hide it so that she could sell it so that they could have money to care for the sick people in their house. Another time, when the elector, Frederick, gave them some money, knowing how much they were doing to care for people, Luther refused. So Katie went to him on her own and said, "We really, really need it." Eventually, she made some progress teaching Luther about the reality of money. Sometimes she even taught him that he had to say no when they had nothing left to give. But she never stopped working hard so that they could care for others. She basically ran a farm on their plot of land in Wittenberg. And when that wasn't big enough to feed all the people that they cared for, she and Luther together purchased another farm that was a little ways away. And she ran both farms so that there was enough food. She, quote, herded animals, she milked, she butchered cattle, she made butter and cheese, she brewed her own beer, they're German after all, planted gardens yearly, had an orchard with pears, apples, nuts, grapes, and figs. And then wisely, when she purchased that second plot of land with Luther, she made sure, this was her idea, that there was a brook running through it so that she could catch fish out of it to feed the people, which she did. She fished herself and caught trout, pike, perch, and carp and cooked them for lunches and dinners for the people in the monastery, in their house. In 1592, it was recorded that she had 8 pigs, 5 cows, 9 calves, flocks of chickens, pigeons, and geese on the property. She did have a servant, and she did have an aunt that was unmarried that lived with her full time. That helped. And when her children got older, they helped too, but a lot of it fell upon her. She was industrious. She labored. She considered a field. And she bought it. With the fruit of her hands she planted. She girded her loins with strength and cared for her household. She didn't have an easy life. But the Proverbs 31 woman is also a woman of contentment. Not that she never struggled with that, she did. But she was a woman of contentment, trusting the Lord in her trials, in her difficult life. Katie did all of this, even though, apart from her husband, Luther often rose up and called her blessed. He loved her and he told her, and he told her how much he appreciated the work that she did. And her children rose up and called her blessed. But she did all of that, apart from Luther and her children, in a church, in a congregation, in a town, where the people did not heed the call of verse 31 of Proverbs 31 to give her of the fruit of her hands, and to let her own works praise her in the gates. The gates there are the gates of the city, which, of course, is the church now. The calling there is for the people of the church also to uphold and honor a woman like this who labors for the service of God and for his people, to encourage her. Well, Wittenberg didn't. Wittenberg was a rough place to live in. It was dirty, muddy, dirty, fairly run down. The people were rough, uneducated. Luther himself a number of times really wanted to leave. And Katie, though nobody really knew this, Katie did struggle with contentment at times. And she nursed this dream of hers that one day her and Luther would be able to go to that second farm that they had purchased by that little brook. They build a little cabin there and live in quietness and peace for a time, the two of them. But it didn't stop her from serving the needy, from serving the church. She worked for the people in that town and in that church and loved them until her dying day. As we'll see, she never got her wish of going to that second farm. She worked for these people and loved them and received little thanks from them for it. In fact, she often received quite the opposite. You have to remember that before this, clergy did not get married. This is a new idea. This is very odd to many people, and many people looked down on Katie because of the marriage to Luther. In fact, when Luther married her, rumors began to circulate through Wittenberg that she had seduced Luther and had gotten pregnant, and now Luther had to marry her. In fact, these people went so far as to publish a pamphlet about it and to spread it through Wittenberg. Let me quote from that pamphlet that they wrote. Quote, "Woe to you, poor fallen woman, not only because you have passed from light to darkness, from a holy life to a damnable, shameful life, but because you have gone from grace to the disfavor of God. You have come to Wittenberg like a chorus girl. It is said you have lived with Luther in sin, and you lead young women to a pitiable state of soul, despised of all men," end quote. So you can imagine this is quite hurtful for her, especially since these are the people that she is supposed to minister to and be the pastor's wife to. But she carried on. She served them sacrificially in love. Eventually, those rumors died away. Later in their marriage, some Catholic Spaniards who came to the Diet of Augsburg for some reason began to spread a rumor that she had given birth to the Antichrist, her son. And that began to spread around. After Luther died, and she was a widow in the town of Wittenberg with her four remaining children, the town and the church really turned their back upon her and abandoned her. More rumors flew at the time of Luther died, and I wasn't able to really figure out precisely what all those rumors were. Something that had to do with her having something to do with Luther's death or something like that. And the people despised her and they turned her back upon her, and they didn't give her any monetary support. Aside from her closer friends, they really left her to fend for herself. The only way she could stay afloat was to run a boarding house out of that big black monastery in Wittenberg. The king of Denmark, who was a lover of justification by faith alone and Luther, two times gave her money to keep her afloat. The second time he gave her money, she planned to do what she always dreamed to do, to take some of it and move to that second farm on that brook that she had purchased, even though Luther was dead now, to live in some peace and quiet. And that was precisely when that plague came to Wittenberg that second time. It must have been very hard for her. Finally, she had the ability to go to that plot of land. But she knew that her place was to serve the church. Instead of leaving, like I said, she stayed and turned her home into a hospital again to serve these people who had turned their back upon her. Some of those people expressed great appreciation to her. How could you love us for what we've done to you and the way we've treated to you? Other people actually continued to treat her poorly even as she was caring for them. Some of them stole things out of her house when she was nursing them back to health. She still kept serving them. She was a model of godly humility, contentment, and love in the face of even rejection. It wasn't until later in the history of the church, and that includes us tonight, that Proverbs 31, verse 31 was fulfilled with her, that the church rose up and called her blessed. And finally, Proverbs 31 woman is a woman who fears the Lord. Verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. This is what lay behind the woman, Katie Luther. This was her strength, her relationship to the Lord. She was a woman who prayed often with her husband. She was a woman who read scripture, it is recorded, every day. She prayed with her children at night before bed. When she had time, she taught them lessons from the Bible before bed. She ran a sort of ladies' fellowship out of her home for much of the time in Wittenberg for Bible study and for women to come together to help others who needed it. She was a woman who loved the Word of God, the ability to have the Word of God in her own hand and read it, something that God gave to the church and to her through her husband, was something that she did not neglect. She took advantage of that. It's said that every time the story of Abraham offering up Isaac was read, she would come to tears because she was convinced that she didn't have enough faith to ever be able to do what Abraham did. Her favorite psalm was Psalm 31, which she memorized very early in her marriage to Luther, all 24 verses. She repeated it in her mind often all throughout her life. Again and again, she turned to Psalm 31, which, if you go home and read it tonight for devotions, you'll see why. After the plague hit Wittenberg that second time and then left, Katie decided, now I will go to that second plot of land by that brook. She had three children yet at home, and she hired a carriage to take her to that farm, which was just outside the city. And in God's providence, she never got there. On the way, the carriage ran over a very rutty, bumpy stretch of road. Fitting with her character, I suppose, she immediately stood up to make sure her children were okay and steady. When she did so, the carriage went over another big rut or bump and actually threw her out. And she fell and landed on a very hard rock that was just under the surface of a shallow pool. She never recovered from that fall. In God's providence, she never made it to her farm. Before she died, however, as a woman of the Reformation who embraced the Reformation gospel and faith all of her life long and lived out of that faith of justification by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone, Christ's righteousness alone imputed to me, not my works for salvation. She said this as her last words, I will cleave to my Lord Christ as the burr to the cloth. She died at age 53, leaving behind four godly children. And she was really the first example of a godly housewife, godly pastor's wife, godly woman for the church. After her, something that the church had not celebrated for hundreds of years. She was indeed, as Luther said, the morning star of the Reformation. But after the morning star appears in the sky, hundreds, thousands of stars appear after it. May you be some of those, and you are, who come after her as godly women of faith. As Verna prayed, not in the same circumstances, but in the circumstances God has given you, to shine as a star of the Reformation in service to Jesus Christ, following her example she leaves behind. Thank you.